Ask the MP. Ask the Right Honorable is in the hot seat. Ask the MP. Ask the MP. With Farai on CFM Stereo.
CFM Stereo, my station, your station. Thank you so much for tuning in on this Tuesday evening. My name is Farai Mwakutuya. Time now for Ask the MP, and we bring this effort to you in an effort for you to engage and interact with members of Parliament. We know that their terms may have ended, but certainly there are topical issues that are under discussion there, and we know that as Zimbabweans, you want to have a say, you want to get information on some of these initiatives that are underway, or certainly were underway, and find a possible resolution to them and a way forward, all in a view to improve the livelihoods of Zimbabweans, improve the lives of Zimbabweans, and make this great nation of ours a lot better. A quick reminder of our frequencies across Zimbabwe: Kariba 105.3, Mashingo 96.1, Kadoma 105.2, and in Chivu 99.8. You can also listen to us live, zfmstereo.co.zw. I know a lot of you are doing so from all over the world, and we would like to welcome our international listeners. Get in touch with us. Our WhatsApp number is 0731 168 045. You can also give us a call, 0772 168 045. My guest tonight, we are talking about, very quickly, if I can give you a bit of background to this discussion, we're focusing on education, in particular making sure that every child is in school. Now, Tag a Life Foundation is an organization in conjunction with a number of other civic society organizations that put together a campaign in 2017 asking the Ministry of Primary and Secondary Education to release circulars instructing public primary schools to accept enrollment of underprivileged children who are currently being refused enrollment because they didn't have the money to pay for school fees. The campaign asked the government to allow parents to negotiate payment plans while their children were allowed to enter school. At the time, about 27% of children were out of school. There hasn't been any commitment from the minister's office to look into this issue, and I suppose, would like to find out why. We know, there are moves to continue to agitate for this, and we want to find out what could be the challenges, what could be the problems. And as Zimbabweans, perhaps you have alternatives. I know you certainly have opinions. This is a very topical issue. We know that there are many opinions and views on this. We want to hear from you and possible ways out and solutions to this challenge. Now, this campaign also hoped that the new dispensation would put children at the center by ensuring that schools are opened up to the underprivileged. And so there's been no urgency. There's been a lack of urgency on the part of ministry. Certainly, that is the sentiment that is coming from, organizations that are championing this cause. And we have one of them here in the studio, Tag a Life Trust. We have I have three guests in the studio, and I'll introduce them very quickly before I hand over to get this discussion going. Honourable Jasmine Tofa, welcome, ma'am. Thank you for joining us. Great pleasure to have you on the program once again. Whenever you are here, you are very vocal. You speak your mind. I know that my mom, who is a regular listener to this program, always says, "Wow, that woman is so brave." So welcome, Honorable Jasmine Tofa.
No, thank you very much. It's good to be back.
And we look
Hello, Zimbabwe.
Great. And we look forward to you being as outspoken as always. Honorable Zalera Makari, ma'am, great to have you on the program.
Thank you, Farai. Good evening, Zimbabwe.
Great. And certainly last but not least, Nyaradzo Mashaya Mombe. She's from Tag a Life. Yeah, it's great to have you on the program. She is the founder. Thank you for coming through to ZFM.
Thank you for having us. Hello, Zimbabwe.
Very quickly, I'll begin with you, Nyaradzo. Where are we? We know that from the information we have here, December 2017, you put together a petition. What is the status?
So pretty much, I think what you alluded in the introduction to say that, yes, on 14 December 2017, Tege Life, the organization that I come from, together with many civil society organizations that are working in children's rights sector, petitioned the Minister of Primary and Secondary Education, and our petition was simple. We were saying that there is more than 27% of children who are out of school, and being in the new dispensation, we hoped that the new dispensation would put children at the center of dispensation by abiding by the Constitution Section 75A that actually says that is the prerogative or the responsibility of the government to make sure that children are in school. And as people who had been working in the area of children, seeing that many children are out of school, they are going through, especially girls, they're exposed to child marriages and other things, we immediately launched that, and we thought that it was going to be an easy thing for the new government, the new government to take on board and release a circular that would instruct school authorities, especially in primary schools, in government, in council schools, to accept children who are out of school, who ordinarily when they go to look for places, they are demanded to pay all the school fees, and usually it comes with hikes. And we're saying in the new dispensation, allow these children into school, but allow the parents to negotiate for payment plans while the children are in school. As we work towards, as a government, making sure that education is free, but we also told the minister to say, we understand our government is in a fix right now as we're rebuilding. We also suggested an education fund so that children, those who are unable to pay completely, are catered for. And there was the mention of BIM, and we realized that BIM is not funded, is donor funded, and it's unsustainable. So that was the entry point, and the response from the ministry wasn't as encouraging. At first, it was really defensive, and then the minister came around, and then at one point was asked in parliament to say, Minister, this issue that we keep hearing about people, children who are not in school, what's going on? And he had promised the parliamentarians that his permanent secretary is going to look into it and make sure that whatever is being requested happens. But it turned out that up to now, the minister, he also responded to our letter, and he said, oh, whatever you guys are asking for, the ministry is already working around that. And so for us, it's like, okay, so we're in a new dispensation. We're coming from an old where we felt like there was no agency, there was no efficiency. So if this ministry takes a position to say, whatever you're asking for, we are doing. Therefore, this there is no commitment to release the circular, of which is something that we thought was simple. Release a circular, instruct your school authorities to make sure that children have access to education. We've since written a letter as well to the president in February, and we're saying, put the children at the center of the dispensation. Would you hold the minister accountable? We haven't heard from the president as well.
Before I come back and ask a few questions based on that, once again, would like to invite listeners to get in touch with us, 0731-168-045. Get in touch with us. Tell us what you think about this initiative about, you know, basically to try and get an estimated 27% of children who should be ideally in primary school not in school because they either can't afford it or being asked to pay fees up front. And so there's a push to try and see if they can be accommodated and allowed to get that basic education while their parents try to make a plan to get their funds. Honorable Makari, you sat in Parliament, and you will know the challenges that right. you know the executive faces in terms of funding.
Right.
These schools need to run. They need to function.
Right.
They have budgets. They have expenses. Right. And they can't have any free riders, can they?
Thanks, Farai. I mean, definitely, I don't think we're asking for freeloaders, but the reality of the situation, and I'm going to speak about this very personally, coming from a constituency where maybe the majority of the 27% is coming from. We know that it is a right, it is well enshrined in our constitution, but the enforcement part of it. I would like to also just maybe bring to light that there has been provision
for children to go to school in Beam, but it's not sustainable, like Nyari clearly says. We need government to come on board and fund Beam, or maybe, you know, find another way of finding our children to go to school. It is their right, and so we cannot ignore it. If children don't go to school, you know, at primary level, when will they start going to school? So I totally do agree with Nyari and the drive. We were at the workshop that she held, which was very, very informative and eye-opening to see that our minister has actually not responded to the cry of the children, to the cry of people that are interested and caring about children going back to school. So we're saying to our government, we know there is a provision in terms of BEAM. We know that it is in the constitution, but can this be enforced? Where is, you know, where's the enforcement? With the teachers, my headmasters are not in government school. What is the recourse? What's happening to them? So we can't just keep talking the talk. We've got to start walking the walk.
I'll hear from you very quickly, Honorable Tofau, just for you to weigh in on your own experiences in terms of where this is, whether you think that there is indeed a lack of urgency on the part of the minister, or perhaps his hands are tied.
No, thank you. In my own experience, talking about the Bulawayo Metropolitan constituency, what I found is that every term, when schools are opening, the same old story. We come back to Parliament, we put our questions before the minister, and at one time we even asked the minister to do a ministerial statement besides the letter to the different ministries of education, instructing that the headmasters do not send children away from school because it has a psychological effect on children. And also, I actually find that the minister and the ministry is playing a lip service, because the constitution clearly states, as Honorable Makari says, that the constitution is the supreme law of the country. Mm-hmm. And why do we have to constantly ask the minister to make sure that he does what he is supposed to do? Mm-hmm. And why should the children suffer? The Minister of Finance must put aside a fund for education, must fund the social welfare. I remember growing up that there was a deliberate effort by government to make sure that children in all communities went to school. You found the social welfare going into homes to look to see why children were not going to school, and parents were taken to task for not sending their children to school because government provided for those children to go to school. Our government is not providing. Our government is playing lip service. They will tell you, we ask questions every Wednesday, what is government policy? It is not government policy for children not to be sent to school, the minister will say, but there are thousands and thousands of children out of school, and we need to put a stop to that. And we find as legislators that it's almost like wasting our time speaking out in Parliament, and nothing is happening.
Now, let me ask you this very noble initiative, and I think no one can argue against this, but I would imagine that their parents were saying, look, we are paying fees. We are also not getting it having it easy, but we are making a plan and scrambling however best we can to find this money. Now you're asking kids who haven't paid to come and benefit from our fees. Surely that can't be fair. We are having to subsidize them. What do you say to a parent in that situation?
Thank you very much, because I think ever since we started this campaign, it's something that we've heard. Like, parents have actually, when we're on radio, some parents have said that. The point is not about parents who are paying. The point is about children enjoying their right and government doing its responsibility. The moment you put two people who are desperate in a room, they're going to eat each other. They're going to fight. But the point is they should never be put in that position. Government should be doing its role in ensuring that children are in school. Honorable Tofa has just mentioned that once upon a time, there was a government that really cared about children, right? Uh-huh. they really care to the extent that social welfare would move around, make sure that children who are not going to school, somebody is answerable. Right now, nobody is answerable. Mm-hmm. So I think the idea is, it's not for us to then come up with the solution that if parents of those, if those parents who are paying should ever feel like, why are they paying, or why the children whose parents cannot pay, you know, it shouldn't be about the parents, but it should be about the children being able to access education. It should be about the government putting in place measures to make sure that those that are out are brought to be in school, and there's equitability in education, and that they can find ways of keeping those parents who are paying motivated to do so. But we should not make those children out of school to be answering that question and say, okay, fine, because we can't answer this question as adults, therefore let these children out of school. It's illegal, it's against the law.
What sort of, as you come in, Honorable Makara, I know you want to make a point, but let me put this scenario to you, and it's a real life scenario I've heard from my guru of mine in Shurugwi, who says, look, and so I want to ask, you know, we are saying let's get these kids into school if they are right, but what sort of quality of education are they getting? Because remember, there are teachers there who know that Ningi and Ningi haven't paid. They are the ones who are, you know, perhaps the reason why I'm not getting the salary I should be getting or the perks that I should be getting. I'm getting all this extra work for someone who's not paying. My guru told me of a scenario where, okay, your kids haven't paid, everyone come to class, homework is issued or work is done, and the teacher would mark the books of the kids who've paid school fees. So yes, your child has come to school, but they may not be getting what they ought to be getting because...
It's terrible to imagine that. But I just wanted to add in to what Nyari says. What happens to the children who don't have parents to fight for them? Mm-hmm. We know that in Zimbabwe we have a high rate of child-headed homes, mm-hmm. you know, Vanna, that are destitute because of AIDS or whatever other disease. What happens to them? Who fights for them? So I think that the point, Yakuti, you know, the parents that have paid feel like they're being treated unfairly does not hold any water. Mm. And to the teachers, I mean, these are government employees. What's it to them, you know, who's paid and who hasn't been paid? Because they're going to be paid anyway at the end of the month. I think it just goes back to the culture of the kind of teachers that we're having. As I was driving to the studio, I was listening on radio, and there's an outcry in Montessori institutions to say that there are lecturers that are asking for sexual favors from students. So I'm saying that we now maybe need to look at the caliber of teachers that we have, you know, not only their academic qualifications, but their moral integrity as well.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Keep your comments, contributions coming through 0731-168-045. 0731-168-045. We do want to hear from you, and I know this is a very topical, perhaps even emotive issue. Have your say and tell us, you know, what you think. Honorable Tofa, your view in terms of, you know, going forward, how do we compel the government to do what you say it ought to be doing?
I think there are a number of ways that we can compel the government to do what it's meant to do. I'll speak to, or maybe just add to what Honorable Valera was talking about, child-headed homes and also child marriages, these girl-child marriages, mm-hmm. the SADC model law for the eradication of child marriages is one such document that we could domesticate as a government. We were one of the countries that had a lot of pomp and fare around the model law, the SADC model law of eradication against child marriages. The then Vice President of Zimbabwe, who is now the President of Zimbabwe, actually officiated at the launch mm. of that model law. And the model law provides different strategies that can actually be used to help solve the situation. For example, making sure that government has a budget set aside for children to go to school. There's a budget set aside for girl children that have been impregnated, or girl child marriages that have been annulled, for people that have been taken to task for impregnating a girl child, for supporting that girl that would have been a victim from being made pregnant, and also the child that you'd have given birth to, making sure that these people or these children are actually sent to school. Another way is also having a levy, an education levy. Well, there's other levies that are put in place, and if we put education as a priority, we are actually setting a foundation, a good foundation for the future of our society, and making sure that all children are protected. Because if children do not go to school and are not educated, they become vulnerable. They become victims of abuse. So these are the things that we could look at. We could even look at part of the, I could say maybe the road, the toll gate fees, for instance. Mm-hmm. If a percentage is set aside for education, even the alcohol levy or tax, the SINS tax,
uh-huh.
A part of that can be taken for education. There are so many methods that can be used, and it's also I think it's also the Minister of Education's responsibility to make sure that he makes every effort that is possible to make sure that government or even lobbies us as legislators to help him with this cause.
I can imagine you're not winning any fans amongst Zimbabweans who believe that they're already amongst the highest taxed in the region when you right. propose other taxes. But right. clearly, you know, that sort of out of the box thinking is what we need. I mean, we saw that with airtime and medical fees. And
right.
I think perhaps what people may want to see to get confidence in this sort of thing is a percentage of our money for airtime is supposed to be going to health. Mm-hmm. Is it indeed going yeah. there? We want to see the results, the accountability, the track record. Contributions coming through from our listeners. Someone says schools need learning aids and materials. If children are not paying school fees and the government is not subsidizing, how will these schools function? So those are some of the realities that, you know, that schools will face. That is the hard reality.
Right.
That they are expenses. There are costs right. to running schools. And if people aren't paying their way, that quality, that education that you want kids to get may then be compromised.
Uh-huh. But I think we're not saying that, people yeah. shouldn't pay. Yeah. We're just saying that can the government subsidize? And she brought in the toll gate, a chunk of the toll gate fees mm-hmm. to go towards that. I mean, we have so many levies, you're right. We have the AIDS mm-hmm. levy, this yeah. levy, that levy. So maybe we don't want to tax people. Let's work with what we have.
Yes.
But can the government subsidize for those that cannot manage mm-hmm. to pay school fees?
Can we put it to you? And I want to put it to the, parliamentarians, and former parliamentarians. I don't know what the right term to use. Still MPs. Oh, okay.
Why are you demoting
Could we then look at you and point at you guys and say, look, the blame should sit with you, A, for not ensuring that the constitution is aligned and is a reality, so that we can hold government to account to say, look, you are supposed to make education a right and you haven't, and also just for allowing government to get away with these things that it shouldn't. Shouldn't you be doing more?
I don't think it's fair to totally blame us. I mean, because the truth of the matter is the constitution was put up by all Zimbabweans, and it clearly says in the constitution that our children have rights of education and so on. The enforcement part is the issue, and I mean, you can only bring a horse to the river. I mean, mm-hmm. you can't force it to drink. I think we all have a part to play as Zimbabweans, because when we are looking at the constitution, we have as a parliamentarian.
Yeah, we have as parliamentarians taken the minister to task.
Mm-hmm.
I remember after one of our workshops with Nyari, she actually tasked us to see the Minister of Education,
yeah.
and we did, and his response was actually very negative, because he felt that, he says, fine, give me the money and I'll say every child goes to school. And for us, I mean, that it took us aback, and that is where we came up with suggestions such as the ones that I bring up right now. And like you were saying, Zimbabweans are highly taxed already. We are not saying add more taxes. We are saying part of those taxes can be directed to education. And right. Also, as government, we need to put our priorities right.
Exactly.
We cannot say government cannot pay, or they don't have money. They only don't have money when it comes to education for the children. They've got money for everything else.
Yeah.
Where are they getting the money to buy the cars that they bought the Chiefs?
Yeah.
Where are they getting the money?
16 million, by the way.
Where are they getting the money to do everything else that they are doing? So... Well, I mean, can government justify to Zimbabweans right now that they don't have money, yet they have money to do everything else that they are doing?
I think that is the biggest question that, as citizens, I think I was talking to a colleague actually here at ZFM to say, as Zimbabweans, I think one of our biggest problems is that we are fragmented. We don't focus on the real issues. By that, what do I mean? Why do we even ask each other to say, oh, you are paying school fees, oh, so then those children who can't pay, how about us who are paying? You are the one who is actually, if there's a child who is not in school, it's your relative. And they are there because you, as the person who's been bearing this burden, have also failed, because these are our relatives. Because we have failed. So what we should be asking is, where is our government? Where is our money going? Mariema Texas, just like Honorable Tofa has just said, splendid thing. The problem is we do not ask our government to account enough. Like she rightfully says, we have enough money to go kunotengera party A, this party A, that kunotengera machief edu, tinesa mari dzakawanda mu security, at we are not at war as a country, but we have so much money being put in the places they, where they shouldn't. Our security in this country, we are known in this world for education. Why are we not prioritizing where our security is? The education. So for us, it's about prioritizing, asking the government to put money. And for instance, the last budget is said to be, Professor Mavima at one point, he says, oh, because the government, we were the education was the highest funded. Highest funded with 20, is it 20 billion? 20 million. Exactly. Oh, mm-hmm. Where's my head? 20 million. And it's so you were saying, oh, we're the highest funded. And we need to look at the 20 million. What percentage is going to the child? Only 5%. 95% is going to fund to fund teachers. So therefore, we literally do not have funding for children. Only 5% towards the real education of children. That's why there is this disparity. So in the next budget, in the coming government, there has to be the children at the center of the dispensation. If it means that children get about 35 to 40% of the coming budget, so be it. Because right now, they're at zero.
A listener getting in touch. Just hold on, Honorable Tofa, before you come in. A quick few contributions coming through. Problem here is our ministers are living a different life to ours.
Yeah.
They don't know the plight of the kids at a makeshift school housed in a sty. Lawlessness is the order of the day. They don't care. Their kids are in foreign schools while our children are suffering and being sent away from school. Don't tell me a minister can't stop the chasing away of children. We've got another one here saying... thank you very much for bringing the issue of these children to the fore. I think we should try more earnestly to find means to pay for their education rather than continue blaming the headmaster or the teachers. And on this, you know, on this score, I would like to say, though, that is it true indeed that a school would turn down a parent who says, look, I can't pay, I can pay this much now, and I want to make a payment plan? Because we know those things are happening.
So,
Honorable Tofa, then.
Yeah, I've actually had experience with schools in Bulawayo. I can actually name them. Mahachula Primary School, Mzilikazi Primary School, a school in Mpopoma, where children are actually turned away.
Yeah.
And I am getting parents coming to me to say, Honorable, ngapha bantwana bethu sebexotshiwe esikolo. What can we do? And I say to them, look, I say, you, it is your child. Yes, I know government has said free education, but it is your role to make sure you pay for the child. Can you not pay pay off bit by bit. And they say, yes, we've gone to the school and we've asked them to allow us to pay, and they're saying no.
Yeah.
Some schools actually refuse, or they tell them how much they should pay, and if that parent can't afford the amount that they've actually prescribed, the child doesn't go to school.
Yeah.
So it is important that the schools also, the school heads and teachers realize that we are in an economical, a very difficult in economical situation, and where parents are making an effort to pay, they should
be allowed.
Yeah, they should accommodate them.
Just to add on, sorry for it.
Okay.
Not only do they refuse payment plans, they actually withhold my results.
Yeah.
Yes.
Grade 7, Form 4, Form 6, until you've paid. So they're holding, you know, the parents and the children at ransom, even if they come up with the payment plan.
Just to be the devil's advocate, do you not think that they are resorting to these very extreme measures because they have had experiences where they have been let down?
Probably.
And they are being forced to do this?
So, far, if we go back to the basics are that the government should put measures in place to make sure that children are in school. The reason why these teachers and school heads are doing this dilly-dallying, whatever they want, is because the minister hasn't been tough with them. There is an unsaid rule that teachers or school authorities right now can chase children away. But also it's important to bring back the discussion to say, part of this campaign was their children who've never been in school. And when they are looking for places of enrollment, van you are to zero my price. Tom Boti can I chikoro chichita at $5 or $10 or 20. Also we're talking about kumahat to ma rural areas as well as my peripheries uko kuma high density suburbs. And they say, Arkuti a enrolled Bosaka Bodona, Arkuzoka, can a school fee the chita $10? Vachatu Buddhist square $15 or $20 because chances Parkudua $10 is school fees Nechichi, Pachadua Pachadua Mutenya my uniforms panel, Mugodin Godin. It's so prohibitive. Vanava school pants up. So we need to remember that these are also kids who are already out of school when they're trying to get into school. It's so prohibitive. That's why we're saying, Minister, because existing policy right now, ya kesuka 2009 secular. Do you not even have a zingwa, but even not even to zingwa, and you that. But kune, kurukuto misa the secular, kuti, mwananga abu mizwe kupinda mchukoro kanasina mari. So to answer your question, parukunzi, gogova kanzi, school fees, if $5 or $10, vanu warukuma mishawe, you need to understand jambotoro na honorable. Kuti joni, kutori nana gogova kasiru wavana, basina dola acho, basina 50 cents acho, parukuti waka shika pachikoro nyangu avatori na chekune gosheta nacho kune vanavari kuita macho dated families right now avana maria choni andidika. And like I remind Zimbabwe that these are our relatives vakafirwa vakuti isusu tega we are failing to look after them, and some have parents but pressure on my bus andidika vakuti inini kumisha kwangu inini nditori ne hama dzangu dzekuti mwana wabudi mwana waningi vakuti ndinototadza kubhadhara school fees akato dzingwa rutogara kumba. The other day at the workshop ndaka sendirwa message nemwana webrother yangu achiti teteta dzingwa. And that's illegal. And I tried to call the school lady, Parastunu kwa isko kwa nagano chukoro. I tried to call that school lady, vakaramba kuanza phone yangu. And so, what do we do? What are we going to do? The government is also not supporting these schools. That's why Trikuti, government, ngaise maruma education, va badare, so that they subsidize.
Thank you for this. The listener saying thank you for this important discussion. I know of a family just outside Norton with 5 children of school going age, but we haven't been to school for the past 2 years. They have very able-bodied parents who just don't seem to care. I have personally approached the headmaster of the local school who said the parents can come and do some work at the school in lieu of fees. I communicated this to the father, but he never bothered. How can these children be assisted?
I think it's now this is where you call in the social welfare.
Yes. Yes.
This is the role of the social welfare.
The abuse of children.
Yes. Because the children cannot suffer. I have lots of these situations in Bulawayo where children come up to me and say, they call me Masalu. School fees, and so on and so forth. So esikutsho ukuthi abantwana kabafanelanga babe yibo ama victims abangahamba esikolo ngokuthi umzali kakubona ukuqhakatheka ngokuthi umntwana aye esikolo. So uhulumende ule ngathini ule responsibility eyokuthi akhangele ukuthi abantwana bonke bayahamba esikolo. So it is important and it is government's responsibility to make sure that they set the fund aside and also disperse the fund, because you find that the budget is there to say a certain amount is put out for education. Uh-huh. How much of that money is actually disbursed to the schools for youth?
Another listener says, let me be frank, yes, it's so that some kids are not going to school, but the government is broke from what we know. And if you think about it, what is the state of our hospitals, state of our roads? The problem is the economy. Fix the economy and things will start to work. If parents are employed, most would pay fees. Some parents are in fact frustrating because they produce five kids and then they are super broke and come with them to other parents indirectly, that is to say, please buy chalk, charts, chairs, paint, etc. Schools cannot be run without paying. Once others start learning for free, others will stop in protest.
I think this person has missed the whole dialogue right now. We have been insisting that the responsibility of the government, it is the responsibility of the government to make sure kuti vana vaenda kuchikoro. Whether mberekazo dini kana kuti kudini, it remains the responsibility of the government to make sure that vana vapinda kuchikoro. Hakuna zvekunzi government yedu iri broke. Tataura kuti kune mari dziri kuspendwa kunotenga dzimotika kudini 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 munyika munomu. Pane mari dziri kuenda missing. Ma $15 billion are going missing. So we should stop the nonsense they put on Hakuna mari in Zimbabwe. Mari irimo, but it's
there.
Being misused and the money is being misdirected. And as citizens, we must rise up and actually say that mari irimo Zimbabwe ngaiende kuvana. Iwaru kunyora apo, you are well able bodied kunyora pa phone pako kutichichi. But pane mwanasuru kunyora. And there could have been an excuse for you not to go to school. But we are saying, let's not leave anyone behind. Mm-hmm. We are talking about my jobs. My jobs, they are already left out. We are losing out on potential my leaders. Simply because we need to fix other things before children are going to school. While we are fixing an economy that we squandered for 37 years, those children are remaining behind. How many years is it going to take for them, for us to say, to fix the economy now, we've got jobs, therefore we are going to have to think about them. We have to have priorities, and then education is like the bloodline. Without education, we are nothing. So we have to be thinking like that as Zimbabweans.
Honorable Tovi, you said earlier that, or rather a point was made that as citizens, we need to ask our government, we need to hold them to account, and as I mentioned earlier as well, it is you, our MPs, who we voted in to represent us and do that holding to account.
Yes, we are doing that. We are holding government to account. We are making we are calling them to book, and we also need our citizens out there to speak out. We need our citizens not to be making excuses for government to say our government is broke. What are they doing in government if they are broke?
Right.
What is government's role? It is to manage the economy. So if a manager is not managing the economy, they must get out. They must put somebody else who is going to manage the economy. That is why we have an election. We come into elections now, so we want somebody that is going to run the economy and run it properly, making sure that they make everything that accessible. Education must be accessible, jobs must be accessible, the economy must be running, and it is government's responsibility to make sure that that happens, or else there's no use of having a government.
Smiley from Chinoy says the Ministry of Education allocates his guests the highest share in the budget, if I'm not mistaken. May I kindly ask what that money is used for? Is it not that money that should be used to take care of such issues under deliberation? Well, certainly what we do know is that the largest percentage of the budget goes towards recurrent expenditure such as wages. So I'd imagine that because the Ministry of Education has the highest workforce because of teachers, that is why they are getting that. But, you know, that is just my Honorable Makari, would you like to just weigh in and contribute on some of the issues that we are hearing here? Just a quick one here before you come in, saying the government is paying chiefs monthly and buying them the latest 4x4. So I don't think we can really say the government is broke.
Not broke.
Thank you so much for that. One more here. Very true. Zviri kutaurwa nemwanasikana hurumende inofanira kubatsira zvakasimba panyaya dzevana vamwe vari kutambura utungamiriri hunomirira vanhu muzvikoro. Vanotanga vaita zvavanoda nemari. Vabereki nerumwe rutivi vari kutambura kureiza mari dzefees nekuda kwekushayikwa kwemabasa. I am Marco Bandira from Chitungwiza. Thank you so much for getting in touch and for that contribution. Honorable Makari, please go ahead.
Wow. sadly or greatly, I would love to agree with the ladies in this station. I mean, it is a sad reality because I think our priorities are warped. There's someone that wrote in and said that education gets the highest chunk of the budget, which is not true. It is the defense and security sector. So I'm saying I think we need to, as a government, prioritize who gets what and when. Yes, the wage bill is high. That means we have many schools, but there are not many people that are attending. Okay. If we have 27% of our children that are not going to school, and this percent is really from government schools. There's a lot, like in my constituency, a lot of my private college, these are not properly constituted schools. They're just schools, you know, that are not above board.
Yeah.
So who's counting those children? So we're saying that when we talk about issues that concern our constitution, this is a right.
Yeah.
This is not a luxury. This is a right that every child is entitled to, that we, as the government, we as, you know, leaders, their legislators, should make sure happens. But like I'm saying, it's not just the legislators, it's the government. The all three arms of government have to work together. The judiciary, to make sure enforcement, and we work together and we make sure that we put these children through school. There's somebody that mentioned about a family with five children. This is definitely an issue, social welfare. I mean, these people should be put behind bars because this is child exploitation. But let us not degenerate to the point whereby we lose the plot because of one or two instances. There are some parents that do not value school, but the majority of the parents are trying hard in this very trying economic environment that we're in to put their children through school.
Tawanda Bere raises the point that even when Waka affected, since 2000 up to now, nothing has been done to help those affected children. Listener saying, good points coming out. So directing our efforts to force the government to pay for the education of disadvantaged and vulnerable children is better than trying to force schools to take on the issue without adequate funding. Point being raised here, related but not necessarily perhaps what we're speaking about, but I think a very pertinent point that should also be put to the authorities. Gift in Bulawayo, Hillside Bulawayo, says some of the schools in Bulawayo are refusing Kutambira Eco Cash, saying they want cash.
That is abomination. I think people need, I think at the center of this, without sounding hurting, I think we just have schools that have just been allowed to do whatever, whenever, wars or whatever, whenever. And that's why we put the pressure on the government and coming back to the Minister of Education to say this nonsense that is happening in schools that we've allowed to go on, it actually is a measure of actually, and I think it is also against the current president who says the voice of the people is the voice of God. We've been calling on the Minister of Education to respond to these issues, and they just I don't know whatever is happening at the ministry, that they are not moved. They do things at their own pace when they want it. It seems like they are not responding to the plight of people. And because Vana was cooking them school.
And so let me ask you this, Nyanadzo, Honorable Tofa, before you come in very quickly. I wanted to find out, you did say that you wrote to the president.
Right.
Where to from here? Have you gotten a response to that letter? And what do you intend to do? What's your next course of action?
So good question. If we do not hear from the president as they dissolve parliament, as we go forward to the next elections, and if we do not hear from anybody and they do not release that circular before the term of this current minister, I think coming we will actually go the legal route, because as basic as it is, this is an issue of human rights and the violation of human rights with an administration that is not caring about children, of which this is not negotiable. We shouldn't be even coming here to negotiate. This is an issue of the law. So we probably will consider the law, because when we appealed to the president, we thought he would listen to us and say, hey, let's put the children actually at the center of the dispensation. Hey, Minister of Education, have you released that article? So if they are not listening to the children, then probably we'll go the legal route.
Honorable Tofa.
Yes, I just want to respond to the guy that just wrote in now from Burnside Hillside.
Hillside, yes.
Yeah, about schools not allowing them to pay in eco cash. If he could get hold of me and maybe we can go and see the schools, and actually we need to expose those schools because that is a deliberate infringement of a right, where somebody is actually able to pay the child's school fees and the headmaster is deliberately turning the child away from school. So those are the issues that we need to look into.
What happens in a scenario, it was raised earlier by a listener, and unfortunately, that is the nature, it is human nature, and we've seen it happen all the time. And so if I see that indeed government is now funding, or schools have been forced to put their kids, to take these kids who can't afford fees, then I will say, look, I was bending backwards, I was trying all sorts of things to pay, let me also not pay, because hey, after all, my kid will go to school anyway. Unfortunately, it is human nature, but there is that danger that will happen.
I think to answer to that, just maybe before I answer that, you just come back to Honorable Tofa and say, the reason we are going the policy way is so that we don't have to have schools doing whatever. Because Honorable Tofa can go to these schools because this is a constituency. But how about those children whose MPs are not even paying attention? Yeah. You understand? But in as far as the issue that you bring up is concerned, for I to say, the human nature to say, oh, well, we are not going to. This is the responsibility of the government, I come back again, to put in place measures to motivate those who are paying to pay
incentives
exactly, and those parents. And remember, we've had BEAM, right?
Mm-hmm.
Though it was underfunded, it was trying to put this whole thing into consideration to say pane banasla to bonkubada, and parents never stopped. So I think we are also doing a disservice to our citizens. Our citizens, Zimbabwean citizens, are responsible citizens, right? And apana no argue akana chono kuti mwana we apa panga sutelo chiko mwana is missed a class tomuti neniwo akuna zvakadaro. My citizens have not been doing that. Let's just have the government putting a policy in place, a fund in place. It is sustainable. How do you become patriot when your foundation called in education is depending on my donors are mine, but foot I'm scooda. So trukuda is kuve ne fund yet no fund as much Zimbabweans. And one thing that I don't understand is kutititi, yes, we are heavily it takes the Zimbabweans, but it takes such a kind of kuchikoro. And I think that as far as Zimbabweans are concerned, tikati 50 cents per month, dollar per month, I don't think it would be as painful, because it takes such a kind of kuchikoro van taka benefit. And we're saying let's restore the education. I don't see my Zimbabweans difficult. And we also have to reach out to say, maybe kunana age left kwanga kumbo critical kwekwe. 20 rujisa, maybe I'm 3%, get it in the upper 1%, 1.5%, the other 1.5% each end up for education. Mm. Because education is the key. Why do we not get it?
Honorable Makari.
I don't get it.
We get it. They're pertinent points being raised. BEAM worked very well, but it was underfunded.
Yeah.
Like Nyari correctly says, I think now it's no longer being funded, but we're saying that there was a criteria and a vetting process to vet whenever my child did at home, so I'm it banana go and so on. And so, so I think the process you could vet qualifying candidates is not the issue.
Yeah.
I think the issue is, can we get the money so that our children can go to school? And the AIDS levy should really account for some of the AIDS orphans. It shouldn't just be
that
for treatment and so on. But I think it should account for my orphans that, whose parents succumb to HIV and AIDS.
Indeed.
And we're also living in a technological world now. Mm-hmm. Surely technology can help government track those parents that can pay school fees and are not paying school fees.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
So, they should use everything that is there at their fingertips and stop whining. They must do something.
And I really want to emphasize that Zimbabweans are not like that. we know these children who are in communities, and also we know children who are in communities who can't afford an education, who need, and nobody can contest that, because these are children who we are seeing every day. Apana mbereki, isusu we know kuti takakura tito in this world kuchikoro na hakuna mbereka nombodo kusheku umwe mwana sende kuchikoro. People will be bothered in the community shekuti mwana wepako pasikono kuchikoro panonzi vanasukuna kuchikoro vakapakaita this funding vabereki vemunharaunda ndovano tounza vana chiti So let's not play that. That's not where the point is. The point is holding the government accountable to make sure that vana vaende kuchikoro. Kwaiswa mari education zvekuisa mari kunana security nene. We are not at war. Ngakuende mari education true money. Zvekunzi kwaiswa 20 million. It's not about the quantity, it's about the quality. Mari yacho iri kuenda kupi? 5%, only maybe less than 5% is reaching the underprivileged children. So we need to prioritize education.
I think with education and funding education, the government has failed. They're really not putting, you know, like I said earlier on, their priorities right. I mean, when I was talking about social welfare, when we were at going to school then, when our parents couldn't pay school fees, social welfare funded everything. They made sure that you got school uniforms, school shoes. They even made sure that you were fed. So government needs to do that.
Yeah. I wouldn't totally say the government has failed. I would just say that we need to do more. They definitely need to do more, because like we were just saying, Bimiyachuyakavaku government, and it helped some, but it's not enough. We have a population bulge, especially kuma youth, kunevano adiki, my demographics have shifted. So we are saying that yes, they need to do more to adapt to the situation at hand, to make sure could all children on board.
When you say our population has bulged, are you saying we have doubled the people we've had in Zimbabwe?
But
the numbers are still the same, and government must just take responsibility.
Well, certainly I think we
don't want to get to you. Remember, you're the government, Honorable Tofa. Are you admitting that your government has failed?
Yes, I am.
Well, I think we want to close with some optimism, right?
Yeah. Mm.
And say we are hoping that even we still have a room, the existing government right now can do the right thing. And I also wanted to give props to the strategy. The Ministry of Education is a strategy that they are just not implementing. I think it's the attitudes really to say, if people are in positions of power, in positions of servanthood, let them do the job. There are really other employees in government that are doing well. If we get into the Ministry of Education, there are some people who are doing a good job, but there are some who are not doing a good job. They are not prioritizing what we are asking for. So at the end of the day, what we are hopeful. As Tani and as a consortium, I think we are hopeful that the government will do the right thing. They haven't closed down. Maybe they will end with a bang, release that circular, so that children who don't have access to education right now can actually have access. So if you can close your ministry right now as Minister Mavima, Honorable Minister Mavima, if you can close by releasing that article, that circular, and serving the more than 27% of children who are not going to school, You would have done well for this short dispensation that we've been in.
Mandlampofu in Alice Dale Nyamandlovu says the state of rural schools, especially those that are in new resettlement areas, are so chaotic, with a total of 250 kids at a primary school forcing two classes to be taught by a single teacher. Very sad scenario there. Thank you so much for that rather controversial one here coming from Kamunda, saying people should stop having children they can't support, not to blame the government for everything.
No,
but again, you know, it's perhaps not people, but it's about the child-headed households, about orphans being taken care of.
And being narrow-minded.
Let us end the discussion on this note. I would like to thank my guests once again for coming through to the program. It's always a pleasure to have listeners get in touch and participate on this discussion. It's always a great privilege for you to get in touch with us in this this is why we do it. Honorable Jasmine Tofa, thank you so much for coming all the way from Lai Metropolitan. Thank Honorable you. Zalera Makari from Epworth.
Thank you.
And Nyaradzo Mashaya Mumbe from Tag Life. Thank you so much for
thank
coming
you for
through.
Having us. Thank you for caring.
Thank you so much for everyone who listened and who participated.
All the children go to school.
Ask the MP. Ask the MP. It's only on ZFM Stereo, my station, your station. Keep it here for the rest of your evening's entertainment. Have a wonderful evening. Good night.